groaned. "I don't think this is going to be a fair competition." "No one had better be competing at all," Francesca decreed. Giovanni's lashes lifted, and his dark eyes met Sasha's. She felt the impact right down to her toes. He couldn't possibly fake that kind of desire. The sensual lines carved in his face deepened. Lust rose, sharp and terrible to settle wickedly in her deepest core. He could do that to her with one look. He rose immediately without a word. Sasha dropped a hand on either cousin's shoulder. "Perhaps there is a lady or two ready and willing to ask you to dance." Smiling, she took Giovanni's hand, threading her fingers through his as they walked away together. "Was that a challenge?" She laughed. "Of course it was. I know you lost a good deal of money to that awful Gino." He was bragging. "We'll have to see just how many points you earned tonight." "It's late, baby. We'd have to hurry if we were going to win back all our losings." They moved down the stairs together. Around them, flashes went off as the paparazzi went crazy trying to get photographs of the two of them together. A couple had managed to sneak up to the top tier, although to do that she was fairly certain security had to have cooperated. They managed to take pictures quickly before they were escorted back down the stairs. She noted no cameras were taken away from the photographers. In fact, everyone had been polite. Once on the dance floor, Sasha let him guide her through the mass of writhing bodies to the darker edges, where she let the music take her. She'd always loved music and dancing. She found the rhythm in the pounding beat immediately and began to move her body to it. Giovanni came up behind her, his body against hers, following the same beat so that they moved almost as if they were already joined, skin to skin. His hands came up to her hips, guiding her more intimately into him, so that she felt his erection pressed tightly against her buttocks. Every time she moved, she rubbed her body over his. She reached down and brought his hands up to her breasts. The moment his warm palms covered her, her nipples pushed against him, begging for attention. Her breasts felt swollen and achy, hungry for his touch. Her panties were damp, her body going hot and slick. There was something about the pounding beat of music, the dark, his body, so hard and masculine up against hers, just a thin layer of clothing between them. Heat blossomed in the pit of her stomach and spread like wildfire through her veins. His thumb strummed her nipples, rubbed through the thin top, until she wanted to scream in an agony of need. Her eyes were closed, and she found herself sinking deeper into a haze of desire. She took his hand and slid it along the seam of her blouse. It wouldn't be easy to slide his hands under the camisole, but she should have known he would be able to figure it out. The zipper whispered, and the camisole loosened, allowing his palms to slide up her ribcage to the sides of her breasts. She sighed and pressed back into him again and again, rocking her hips. He kept one hand around her waist, locking her to him while his other cupped the weight of her right breast, his fingers and thumb busy, stroking and caressing, kneading and tugging, rolling and pulling. Lightning streaked from her breasts to her clit. Her body pulsed with need, for him. She was wrapped in a web of sheer physical hunger. His breath was warm against her ear as his teeth tugged at her earlobe. More lightning, more fire. Her sheath spasmed, clenched, went hotter and slicker. "Baby, you have to ask me to put my hands on you." She wanted that more than anything. Skin-to-skin contact. Her entire body felt as though she was going up in flames, but a tiny little part of her hesitated. She could have this moment, this intimacy, locked with him, surrounded by a sea of people. But it was only the two of them. If he really was playing her, was this moment going to be enough for her? Would she look back on it with regrets? "Sasha." His hands went from moving over her body to swinging her around to face him. His palms framed her face. "Look at me." Butterflies fluttered in her stomach when she raised her gaze to his. It was impossible not to see the worry in his eyes, the emotion, stark, intense. "We were playing a game here, but for me it's real. Touching you, kissing you, The moment my body is next to yours, I heat up, catch fire. I thought this was fun for you, too, but you're not into it. He zipped up her top and enfolded her immediately into his arms, his body tight against hers. She was into the game. She had been. She'd initiated it. She had thought to put the game to rest. The worry she had that he was playing her long term. She didn't believe Aaron. In fact, she knew he lied, but still, that little nagging worry told her this was all happening too quickly. How could Giovanni fall in love with her so fast? For her, it wasn't about his looks. It wasn't about the money. She'd fallen because when her shadow had touched his, she'd known him. She'd seen him. That first night when he'd taken her to the pizzeria, then walked her home, she'd felt him, his sincerity, his need to protect and care for others. Giovanni was many things, but beneath that mask he wore in public, the playboy, he was something very different. He said things, things she normally wouldn't believe, because everything between them had happened so fast. But she knew he was sincere. She knew he was telling the truth, because her innate ability to hear lies told her she could trust what he said and did. Still, she doubted herself at times. She didn't understand how it happened so fast for him. For her, it made sense. She was alone. Everything around her was crumbling. Her brother, that beautiful man she loved so much, her last relative, had little time to live and barely knew who she was from one day to the next. Need was a strong motivator, even for love. That pulled her up short. Was she with him only because she needed someone to help her get through the terrible fears she had over Sandlin? She pressed her face deeper into Giovanni's immaculate jacket. Was she that shallow of a person that she would cling to a man she barely knew, convince herself that she was falling in love? Baby, stop. She knew he was moving them through the couples, but she didn't look. She just went with him. She heard herself sobbing, but she was disconnected, and there was no stopping anyway. Giovanni took her to the edge of the dance floor and was immediately surrounded by his family. He didn't know how Stefano was always aware of each and every one of them as well as their state of mind, but he was. He had the bodyguards there as well, so they moved easily through the crowd toward the back hallway where the offices were located. No one was the wiser that anything was wrong. Even the paparazzi was used to the family walking from place to place together. The moment they got to the hallway door, Giovanni yanked it open, took Sasha on through, and, still holding her to him, brought her into the family's office. It was large. They each required space. Maybe it had to do with spending so much time in the shadows, but they all preferred wide-open spaces if they could get them. He sank down onto the plush couch, taking Sasha with him, cradling her close to him. Maybe if she hadn't spent hours serving drinks and being brave, or if she hadn't set out to seduce him using his own game, her tears wouldn't have gutted him the way they did. But the longer she sobbed as if her heart was breaking, the more he wanted to fight someone, slay dragons, do whatever the hell he needed to do to get her to stop. He massaged her scalp and rocked her, holding her to him, the entire time murmuring soothing reassurances in Italian. He let her cry, racking his brain, trying to think of what could have happened. He'd been careful to keep them in the shadows, so much so that at times the pull on his body had been tremendous and his leg had ached until he thought it might shatter. Still, every second of her seduction had been worth the pain to him. He loved her all the more for her courage and sense of fun, for her willingness to forgive his stupidity and turn his game into something beautiful and intimate between them. He rubbed his jaw and then his cheek along the top of her silky head. Strands of hair caught in the 5 o'clock shadow that had seemed to be a part of him since his late teens. She hiccuped, coughed, clearly made an effort to stop. He kept her head pressed against his shoulder, knowing she wanted to hide from him. He was content to let her, as long as she was in his arms. "Can you tell me, Sasha? What's wrong?"
"I just need—"
She trailed off. His heart clenched, and sudden fear swept through him. He knew what she was going to say. He was that tuned to her. She wanted to put space between them. She wanted to rethink her decision to be with him. Go backward. Don't, baby. I'm asking you not to say it. Not that. He struggled to keep his voice from breaking. Her wild emotion seemed to be contagious. Just talk to me and tell me what you're feeling. I know you're overwhelmed. We can be an overwhelming family. I know it has to feel as if everything is happening too fast, but we can deal with those things together. Just talk to me. Trust me enough to talk to me. She squirmed, her hands coming up to his chest, but she didn't push him away. She just kept her hands there while she pressed her forehead against him, still struggling to gain control.
I'm sorry, Giovanni. I don't know what happened.
He wanted to let her get away with it, but he couldn't. They had to always be on the same page. That was part of being a shadow rider. You need to tell me what happened. She sighed and lifted her face so her eyes could meet his. His heart stuttered, and he brought his hand up to cup her face, even as his other arm continued to lock her to him.
I think I'm panicked. I'm getting in too deep here, Giovanni. I don't know how to play games, and if that's what's going on here...
That was a knife, striking deep, straight through his heart. He couldn't even be upset with her for thinking it, although he thought they'd put that to rest. He cursed himself and the stupid, idiotic idea of the game he had played with his brothers and cousins. He thought Rico was going to have problems with the ridiculous things he'd done before he found Mariko, but this was just as bad, if not worse. "Does it really feel as if I'm playing games with you, Sasha?" He leaned into her, brushed her trembling lips with his. That shock of electricity he'd come to expect when he touched her raced through his body. He brushed those velvet soft lips a second time, his heart accelerating. No one had ever told him that he could fall so far so fast. There was something about her, that combination of vulnerability and independence, strength, and yet compassion. He liked her honesty, even when, like now, she didn't want to admit what she was feeling.
No.
Her voice was a whisper, a thread of sound.
No, but...
She tried to turn away, the tears tracking down her face, obviously embarrassing her. He could tell she didn't believe in letting anyone see that evidence of vulnerability. I'm not just anyone, he reminded. That ring on your finger means something to me. I've never told a woman she matters, or that I'm falling in love with her. I've never wanted a woman to wear my ring. The sad truth is, Sasha, I knew when I told Goodman, the administrator, that we were engaged, that the news would be leaked all over the next day. I wanted it to be.
To protect my brother,
she agreed. To wrap us tighter together. I didn't want you running from me. I know you're the one. The moment I saw you working, I couldn't take my eyes off you.
That's physical attraction, Giovanni,
she pointed out a little desperately. He nodded, sweeping one hand down the back of her head. He leaned forward to sip at her tears. He wanted them gone any way he could get rid of them. I know that's physical attraction, Sasha, believe me. I know what my body feels. Before she could say anything more, he had to tell her the rest. I watched you all evening. I saw you give that bottle of very expensive champagne to the couple who couldn't afford it. I saw you pay the bartender out of your tips. She ducked her head.
They were celebrating their 10th anniversary. He'd gotten the special tickets for that private table, and it was all they...
I know that. I made it my business to find out. The money for their tickets was refunded to them, and... they were comped a dinner at Salvo's. Thank you for bringing them to our attention. You also helped a young woman whose blind date was a nightmare. She frowned at him.
I couldn't just leave her sitting there crying when he told her to get herself home and she could pay the tab.
You didn't have money to pay his tab. She shook her head slowly.
No, but I asked Alan if I could make payments. He consulted you, and you said you'd take care of it.
He had taken care of it. The man who had run up a very big bill and was down on the floor dancing with his real girlfriend, leaving his blind internet date with his mess, had been escorted by security into one of the offices. He'd paid the bill, and was then escorted to the door, thrown out and told never to return. The woman sitting alone on the second tier was given a free cab ride home. I could go on to tell you several other things I discovered about you by just observing you, but you get the point. I got there just after we opened. You were an interesting pastime, and the various tables that were filled. People come and go throughout the night, but I was more interested in you than watching any of them. I learned more than the fact that I was seriously attracted to you, and at that point I didn't even know about your brother. She pressed fingers to her mouth to try to suppress the last of her hiccuping tears. Why do you say it as though knowing about my brother is a good thing? You love family, and are loyal to them no matter their circumstances. I'm the same way. I want that trait in my wife. I want it instilled in my children. Your brother is a highly intelligent man, and he's also strong in what Francesca refers to as shadow blood. That means, when his shadow touches mine, I can read him just as he can read me. What does your shadow tell you about him? He heard the curiosity in her voice. She was becoming distracted, calming down from the storm of tears. He could breathe easier. If she cried like that again, he knew he'd be on his knees, promising her anything, and as a rule, he was as tough as nails. He's a good man. Doesn't have a mean bone in his body, but he's strong. He'll stand when it's for something he believes in. She pressed her forehead against his chest. He was like that, Giovanni. What's he like now? Baby. He tipped her chin up. You're adept at reading shadows. Why are you asking me? You know the answer. She shook her head. I don't. Her eyes met his, and there was pleading there. That look shook him just the way her tears did. What you told me and what I read are the ways he was before the accident. He can't remember anything. How could he remember what he believes in? The answer is he can't. I don't know what he remembers and what he's forgotten. He accepts you coming to visit him, Giovanni pointed out. He likes you reading to him. It makes him feel peaceful when so many things upset him. He doesn't like that he can't remember and becomes agitated in his mind. You have to have felt that. She nodded. That's why I read to him. It calms him down. You calm him down, Sasha. Not the reading. You. When you sat on that couch with his head in your lap while you read to him, I stepped into your shadows. He was feeling you, the way you love him. He might not know your name, but he knows who you are to him. You represent love, his world, his family. He doesn't believe in a what. He believes in a who. That who is you, honey. He becomes agitated more than a couple of days go by without seeing you, according to Goodman. No, he doesn't know what being your brother or sibling means. He doesn't know your name from one day to the next, but he recognizes you. Never think he doesn't. He spoke the raw truth to her, looking into her eyes, willing her to see the honesty. He wasn't lying to soften a blow. He knew the truth of every word. He'd read Sandlin's shadow. His shadow had deliberately connected to her brother's in an effort to assure himself that there was no threat to Sasha. He doesn't understand that we're siblings, she insisted. He shook his head. That doesn't really matter. His life is all about you, waiting for you, seeing you, listening to you. He likes that you tell him stories of his past. He might not remember them, but he hears the love in your voice when you talk to him about the ranch, the cattle, the horses, and your parents. He listens for the sound of your footsteps. That's love, Sasha. It might not be what you had before, but you still have your brother. How did you get that from just his shadow? How did he tell her he'd been reading shadows from the time he was a child? He cleared his throat, hoping she wouldn't think he was a stalker. She already had one of those and didn't need two. I went down the hall several times to check on you while I waited for Goodman to arrive. I listened to you talking to your brother, telling him funny and loving childhood stories, and I watched Sandlin's face.
I deliberately connected our shadows, so I could feel his emotions. Sandlin was acutely aware of me because I was so locked on to you. Yet during the telling of those stories, his attention didn't wander once. He barely knew I was there. He was so interested in what you were telling him. Sasha framed his face with her hands and looked into his eyes. Twin sapphires, so brilliant, a deep blue, stared straight into him, looking past the facade he wore for everyone else, seeing him, seeing the man he was inside. "Thank you," she whispered it. "I am falling very hard for you, very fast. I let myself doubt you, and I'm sorry for that. But seriously, Giovanni, I can't afford to get my heart broken, not with everything I've been through these last months. You're that heartbreak. I can't seem to resist you, no matter how hard I try. Please don't. I'm right there with you, Sasha, just as vulnerable." How could he make her believe him after the stupidity of his game? The sad truth was, it had been his invention. He'd been sidelined far too long from his real purpose in life. He was a shadow rider. He meted out justice. He didn't know who he was without being a rider, just sitting around acting like a bored playboy, flying into various locations and having women climb all over him while his picture was taken for months and months, while his leg healed, was enough to tip him right over the edge. Maybe it had. He'd come up with the game thinking it would relieve his boredom, and, truthfully, maybe to get back at the women hunting his brothers, cousins, and him for their money. He'd been an idiot, and now he was paying the price. "How can I possibly know I'm not just one of those women you compete with Aaron or some other men for?" He stiffened, adrenaline rushing through his body. He'd seen her with Aaron. He'd forced himself to sit at the table while his friend talked and laughed with her, while the MMA fighter had walked her down the stairs, engaging in what appeared to be a very serious conversation with her. "What are you talking about, Sasha?" "Competing with Aaron. I've never done that." "Not with him? Not with any other man, other than what you overheard. I would never take something so far that I'd ask a woman to marry me." "You didn't ask me, Giovanni," she interrupted. Everything in him stilled. "I didn't?" Surely he hadn't been that big of an idiot. No, he'd been that arrogant. He'd declared it to the world, put the ring on her finger, but he hadn't asked her because... "You might have said no to me. We talked about this. How it came about, wearing your ring, that we might actually make it work, but... you didn't really ask, Giovanni." "If I ask officially, are you going to say yes?" She burst out laughing. "You can't cheat. Either you do the right thing and ask me, or you'll never know." "Are you serious?" She nodded her head, but there was a teasing glint in all that sapphire staring into his eyes. She took his breath, his heart. She liked to play, to laugh. She gave that to him in some of their worst moments, and he knew she always would. "Giovanni, if and when you really ask me, you have to be serious. Baby, you're still doubting me. Go over there, where your shadow can touch my shadow." He practically tossed her off his lap. She wanted a proposal. She was going to get one, and she was going to be standing where their shadows touched, so she could feel exactly what he was feeling. He didn't want her to doubt him again. "What did my good friend Aaron say to you?" He should have obeyed his first instincts and broken that up immediately, but he wanted to show her he could overcome jealousy. "Just nonsense, apparently. I knew he was lying, and I still was worried. Maybe it's me I doubt, not you. I don't seem to know what I'm doing anymore." "You work too much, and you're tired, Sasha." She shook her head. "I'm used to working long hours. On a ranch, the work is never done. It isn't that. It's Sandlin." Her voice broke, and he wished he still had her in his lap. "I lost my parents, the ranch, my entire world, and they keep telling me I'm going to lose Sandlin. I'm fighting for him the only way I know how, but sometimes I can't sleep worrying that when I'm not with him, something terrible is going to happen, and then I'll lose him, too. I just can't, Giovanni. I just can't lose him.
He would give his fortune to keep that from happening. He had to consult with the acknowledged best doctors in brain trauma that he could find. He had to make it a priority immediately. That didn't mean he was going to be distracted. He knew Aaron had said things their friendship should have prohibited, and he needed to know what those things were in order to do damage control. He was not going to lose the best thing that had ever happened to him. He slipped off the chair and waved her toward the light where her shadow would be cast straight across his. When she backed into that position, he moved as close as possible and knelt down. Her eyes widened, and she shook her head. He could see that she hadn't really expected him to ask her. Not formally. Not on his knee. Sasha Provis, would you do me the honor of becoming my wife and living the rest of your life with me? His heart pounded and thunder roared in his ears. He hadn't expected to be so fearful. I need you. Your laughter. The way you know how to love. I want you for a million other reasons. I know you're the one, the only for me. I don't cheat, in spite of whatever you may have heard to the contrary. I believe in loyalty and family. I swear on my family's code that I will do everything I can to make you happy. He knew she would have to feel his sincerity. This wasn't about that anymore. This was about whether or not she felt capable of loving him. He didn't take his eyes from her, taking in every detail, the slightest nuance, her every expression. She touched her tongue to her lip. Are you hiding something from me? Something about your family business that might change how I answer? She might as well have shot him, put a fucking bullet right through his heart. She was smart, and there was no hiding the fact that his family was powerful and dangerous. They wanted people to know they were a force to be reckoned with. That was how they protected themselves and their territory. He took a deep breath. Yes. It was the only answer he could give, the only answer he would give. He had to be honest with her, and in any case, their shadows were connected. She came from a family straight from Sicily. She might not have been trained to be a rider, but she certainly could have been one. Her brother as well. Sasha stepped close to him. Will you tell me what it is? I'm not at liberty to tell you until we're together. That was the truth, too. She studied his face for what seemed an eternity. Very slowly she nodded her head. Then yes, Giovanni, I'll marry you. For the first time in his life, he actually felt so weak he thought he might hit the floor. After what I just told you? She was there, sinking to the floor beside him. Her hands framed his face, her thumb sliding over the bristles on his jaw. I know your family has to have secrets. You didn't lie to me, Giovanni, and you promised you would explain when we were committed. I'm committing to you, tying my life to yours. You come with secrets, and your mother. I come with stalkers and Sandlin. We'll find a way to work it all out. Eloisa, he sighed. Stalkers. She matched his sigh. The two of them burst into laughter, and he gathered her into his arms, pulling her onto his lap again. He liked her there. He liked the way her arm naturally curved around his neck, and she leaned into him, almost melted into him. Have that ridiculous game and your worries been put to rest? She nodded. I really wanted to play the game and get your money back from Gino. He was very smug about his winnings. I lost a ton of money that night, but it was well worth it. I found you. I wasn't about to leave that table and have you thinking I was playing that game. She laughed again. Deal. But he loved her laugh. Her fingers curled around the nape of his neck, and just that touch, the way she brushed his skin, made his heart pound and his cock stir. There wasn't anything at all sexual about the way she was acting with him, but the intimacy of her touch and the way she was so naturally sensual were arousing. She didn't have to try very hard with him. I noticed, too. I was watching.
Tell me what Aaron said.
He lied about you. He said the two of you competed for the same women, and he implied you would go so far as to get engaged and then dump the woman just to win. He didn't have many men he counted as friends, and that hurt, deeply. He liked Aaron. He'd helped him often with his training.
That was never true. I've never come close to an engagement. You can go back through every tabloid and every speculation. I was never photographed with the same woman twice. I was careful never to escort a woman more than once to a charity event or any public event, for that matter. I never in my life have led a woman on. I have never been with one that didn't know the score.
She closed her eyes and let her head fall on his shoulder.
You don't like your life, do you, Giovanni?
Do I sound bitter? I don't mean to. I don't like every aspect of my life, but sometimes it is necessary to do things for the family. I can't perform my regular job, so I play the part of the playboy. That's a job, and I've learned over the last few months to be very good at it. But no, honey, I don't like it.
She pulled back to study his face, her eyes thoroughly examining every line carved deep.
You really don't. Are you going to tell me why you have to be a playboy? Why all the men in your family act that part? I presume they're all acting.
He nodded. Yes, it's part of our jobs. Stefano and Rico no longer have to play that role, so that narrows it down to the rest of my brothers and me. As a rule, we try to take turns, but I have this metal in my leg, and it's going to be there for a while. My fear is I'll have to fly out of town and be seen in a club somewhere, and you'll get the wrong idea.
You fly somewhere and have to appear in a club, I'll be right there with you.
A mischievous smile lit her face. I could be that sexy stranger asking you to dance. If Gino's anywhere around, he'd be begging you to let him give you back your money.
She rubbed her hand down his jaw, feeling the 5 o'clock shadow with her fingertips.
Honey, now's the time to fill me in on your family's business. I said yes to you, which means I've made that commitment. We're sorting things out. Tell me.
He shook his head. Give me a little more time, Sasha. I'm not stalling. I'll tell you. But the timing is critical. It matters. Trust me a little bit longer.
She studied his face for a long time before she nodded slowly.
Not too long, Giovanni.
She slid off his lap, stood up, and held out her hand.
I'm way out of time. Lucky I'm with my boss, because otherwise I'd be fired. As it is, West is probably going to give me a whale of a lecture. He's so good at them.
He laughed and took her offered hand, getting up to stand beside her. He wrapped his arm around her waist.
That better not happen. The only one who gets to lecture you is me. Or maybe Stefano, too. He's bound to do it sooner or later.
They started to the door. Giovanni stopped, pulling her to him. He cupped her chin in his hand.
Do you have to work, Sasha? We're getting married. Soon. Do you really have to put yourself in danger when we don't need the money?
I need to work. Sandlin is mine. My responsibility. If I can keep this job, working on the top tier, I'll have enough to pay his medical bills and my apartment. Then, as soon as Pietro finds someone to replace me at the deli, I can drop that job. It will give me more time with my brother. But I need to work this job. I absolutely am going to be the one paying Sandlin's medical bills. I've worked all my life, and I can't imagine just sitting at home twiddling my thumbs.
You wouldn't be doing that. Francesca could use some help with all the things she does. You're used to working on a ranch with a tremendous amount of responsibilities.
That's what she's doing, trying to hold together the neighborhood and take that off of Stefano's shoulders. You have no idea what a relief it would be to have someone helping her, organizing for her. She's been thinking about advertising for a personal assistant. It's better pay than being a server in the club.
You don't even like it, he pointed out.
I'll think about it. I don't see how the pay could be better considering the tips I make on that top tier.
It will even out.
At least talk to Francesca before you say no.
He was going to be talking to Francesca first.
She did need the help, but she would be too sweet and say she was doing fine even if she was drowning. He needed her cooperation to get Sasha out of the club and where he could better watch over her. And he was going to have a few things to say to Aaron. Emma and Eloisa will make our wedding a huge event. I'm just warning you ahead of time, Sasha. He opened the door for her and waved her through. Is my makeup running? I forgot to check. And we just got engaged. I think 2 to 5 years of getting to know someone is good before marriage, especially when contemplating marriage into a family like yours with all those secrets. The woman didn't pull her punches. He sent her a small, knowing grin. It isn't the secrets you're dragging your feet over. It's Eloisa. And no, your makeup is fine. She shrugged. That could be the truth. When are you going to tell me whatever it is you can't tell me now? When we're in bed, and my cock is buried so deep in your body, I'll know you can't escape, and you have to hear me out before you make your decision. He opened the door, and the music hit him. Loud. Obnoxious now. He didn't want to dance or watch her serve drinks. He wanted to go home and be in bed with her, with his cock buried in her. He tried to make it a joke, but the consequences, once he told her the family secrets, were too costly. He risked who he was. If their shadows were woven too tightly together, and he knew that had already happened, then when they were torn apart, when she rejected him and their way of life, he would no longer be able to ride the shadows. She would forget she was ever with him. But the cost to him was his ability to ride. That was essentially who he was. He would always be a shadow of a man if she left him. She stopped right before they got to his family. They were all there, patiently waiting. He felt them before they reached them. Their love, their loyalty, their support. They wanted him to succeed, and if they could have made Sasha fall in love with him, they would have collectively willed her to do so. "It's bad, isn't it?" Sasha asked. "No, at least I don't think so. But if you can't accept my family, the cost to me is more than losing you. I'm not influencing you by telling you more than that. If you accept me, and can love me in spite of the public and private life we lead, then my world is right. If you can't, Sasha, I'd rather know before we're together and have several children." "Several?" Her eyebrows shot up. "What exactly is several? Can 2 be considered several? Or is it more like..." She frowned at him and then looked toward the group of people waiting. He followed her gaze and found himself laughing all over again. There was a considerable amount of Ferraros standing there. He took her hand and pulled her in close. Her front pressed tightly to his side. He walked her toward his family and then, just before he reached them, pulled her toward the wall, needing to kiss her. His palm wrapped around her jaw, and he turned her face up to his. Movement was all around, except directly in front of them, where his family cut off all sight from the dance floor and any paparazzi waiting to see what Giovanni had been doing with his employee in the back offices. He knew they were there, crouched like vultures, waiting to get a photograph of Sasha. As he bent his head to hers, a man stepped into the darkness, quite close. Giovanni instinctively shifted his body just enough to shield her if he had a camera. The man walked past them, swinging his arm out. Giovanni didn't have the help of shadows. There was little light spilling near them. Pure instinct had him shoving Sasha away from him and blocking the arm coming toward them. The slice of a blade burned as he slammed a block hard enough to break bone. The man tried to run, even as he cried out in pain. Giovanni was on him, taking him to the floor hard. His assailant's face smashed into the floor with the force of Giovanni's weight behind it. He rolled the man over and punched him hard several times in the face, breaking the nose and several teeth. It was Stefano's hand on his shoulder that stopped the killing punch to the throat. Giovanni rolled off him and allowed Taviano to help him to his feet. "You're bleeding. He get you with that knife?" Taviano towed it without touching it. Giovanni glanced down at his arm. "Shallow. I'll clean it. No worries." He glanced around him. "No one saw this little mess." It was a statement. "No, He's a drunk. We'll fix him right up.
Stefano turned to Emilio, and his bodyguard nodded as he reached down and secured the knife. Instantly, they were helping the injured man to his feet and hustling him back through the door to the office. He was gone in seconds, and several men were already mopping up the blood.
Chapter 12.
What was that?
Sasha asked, as she looked around Giovanni's house curiously. She was very nervous, much more so than she thought she would be.
That man who attacked you and cut you with a knife.
Giovanni wasn't going to get away with pretending nothing had happened. She had been sent back to work by Stefano. Sweetly, but still he'd given the order. By the time she had looked up from the wall where she'd been tossed, the assailant was gone and several men were wiping the floor clean. Giovanni had come back to his table with the others several minutes later, as if nothing had transpired. They were so casual and laughed so often she would have thought she'd hallucinated the entire incident. But his hands were swollen, his knuckles torn, and there was a streak up his arm where the knife had sliced right through his jacket. That's the kind of thing that happens when you're a celebrity. People with mental illnesses fixate on you, and you're not even aware of it. He had too much to drink and got a little crazy. We've been talking about putting metal detectors at the doors for some time. His tone was casual, and he waved his hand as if the entire thing was just an everyday occurrence. But she wasn't buying it.
Where is he now? I didn't see the cops arrive.
There was no way to keep the suspicion from her voice, and she didn't try.
I'm not certain, Sasha, Giovanni said.
Are you hungry? I don't think you've been eating much since your stalker made his appearance. I watched you at Stefano's, and I'm fairly certain you ate 3 bites.
I wolfed my food down. I'm not one of those women who never eat, she declared. I'm always willing to eat, but I would like a shower.
She desperately needed to breathe deep. She was in Giovanni Ferraro's home. It was beautiful. Not at all pretentious. It was impressive, but beautiful. She loved the way the house was shaped in a long U. One side of the U was the master bedroom, bathroom, what appeared to be a training hall or very well-equipped gym, a theater room and a large library that she could get lost in, as well as what she was certain was a nursery. Just looking into that room made her heart start to pound, as if she was looking at her future. She'd always loved the thought of children because she knew her brother would make the best uncle in the world and her parents wonderful grandparents. In a way, that nursery was comforting. The kitchen, dining room, and great room formed the curve of the U with 2 bathrooms and a large pantry. She hadn't visited the second side of the U, but she was certain it was equally as impressive. In the courtyard between the 2 long sides of the house was a swimming pool, an outside kitchen with a fireplace, and a garden that easily could have been in a magazine. She was very glad, in spite of the money he had. Giovanni didn't have a home with thousands and thousands of square feet. She would have been lost. His home felt like it still was cozy and comfortable to her, although it had every modern convenience and in terms of square footage was large. Sasha let the water pour over her body. She was exhausted, and yet just being in Giovanni's house with him, knowing she'd be in his bed, was exhilarating. She should have waited to agree to marry him until she knew the secrets of his family. But something had tied them together, something unbreakable. She had no idea what it was, but those ties were strong. She wanted to be with him. She wanted to make him happy. She knew he could make her happy. If what she felt for him had only been sexual, she could have resisted. She was strong, and she weighed things carefully as a rule. This whirlwind romance with Giovanni Ferraro was almost unbelievable to her if she examined it too closely. She wished she could talk to Sandlin. He'd always advised her when she was growing up, and his advice had always been spot on. Still, there was a part of her that knew it wouldn't matter what he said. She was too far gone. Whatever it was that bound them together tied her so tightly to him, she couldn't think straight. So yes, she was taking that chance. When she had dried off, feeling refreshed, she wrapped a towel around herself and wandered back into the master bedroom. Her heart thudded when she saw him sitting there on the bed, a tray beside him. Suddenly she was starving.
She looked around a little helplessly, not wanting to sit on the bed in a towel. Clothes in the drawers. She loved the sound of his voice, and the fact that he always seemed to know when she needed something. The closet held a series of drawers, and she cautiously opened the top two. Panties, bras, and lingerie were stacked neatly. The top item was an apricot gown in a fabric that stretched, but wasn't more than delicate lace. She picked up the thong panties. They were made out of the same fabric, but twisted cord. Just looking at the lingerie made her sex clench. She loved beautiful, sexy undergarments. It was the one thing she spent money on. She wore them beneath her jeans when she rode horses on the ranch. She wore them beneath her uniform when she went to work. Now she would wear them for the man she was falling off a cliff for, and who turned her on. So, that man, the one you took down to the floor in 0.1 seconds, and who your entire family surrounded just as fast, and then he was gone. She glanced over her shoulder to look at his face. His expression hadn't changed at all. She stepped into the gossamer panties. They might as well have been non-existent. But she settled the thin, rolled cord between her cheeks and reached for the short gown. "How did you manage to disarm him? Take him down, beat the crap out of him, and get him out of there right under the noses of the paparazzi and me?" Sasha didn't turn around that time. She knew she wouldn't be able to read him. He would either tell the truth or he wouldn't. He'd been so fast, she questioned what she saw. But the more she replayed the incident in her mind, the surer she was that something significant had happened. Giovanni Ferraro looked like a hot businessman, a playboy jet-setter, but he was far more than that. He moved too fast, was too good at fighting. He'd put that man down so fast, she honestly hadn't even seen it. Practice. Her heart thudded. She pulled the matching gown over her head. The stretch lace was apricot, the color barely there. It was short, falling to just below her bottom so that every step would have her bare cheeks peeking out. The material settled over her body like a glove, a sheath, emphasizing rather than hiding her curves. She stared down at herself. Giovanni? There seems to be a little flaw in this gown. The material wrapped around her breasts, framing them beautifully, but there wasn't so much as a stitch over them. Turn around. Let me see. I approved that one myself. I'll just bet you did. She took a breath and turned. His eyes went dark with pure lust. The sensual lines in his face were carved deep, making him look like the epitome of sin and sex. There was no way the transparent panties were going to do much good when she went damp, slick with desire for him. It was impossible to feel anything but sexy in a gown so exquisite, one that left her breasts on display for him. Already, her nipples were tight little buds, and her breasts ached. "You look beautiful. Come, eat something." She went to him, her breasts swaying with every step, making her acutely aware of them. The moment she got close, Giovanni pulled her between his thighs and cupped her breasts, his mouth settling immediately over her left nipple, drawing it into the heat of his mouth. Fire streaked straight to her clit. More liquid heat rushed to dampen her panties. She was afraid she was going to be more than damp by the time he was finished, but she couldn't bring herself to push him away. Instead, she cradled his head to her, arching a little to give him better access. Pleasure shot through her as his teeth raked her nipple, and then he was sucking hard, his tongue and lips sliding over the other breast. She gasped when his mouth worked on her swollen, needy flesh. She wanted his fingers between her legs, but he didn't comply, even when she bucked her hips in invitation. When he lifted his head, she wanted to yank it back to her. Nothing felt so good. Nothing. "Have you considered whether or not you want to try jewelry on your nipples for me? We talked about it, but I want you to be sure." He licked around her areola and then caught her nipple between his teeth and pulled gently. She shook her head. "I've always wondered what it would be like. Sapphires to match your eyes, sparkling gems." His hands kneaded her breasts. "You're so responsive." He reached over and pulled a small box to him. "Would you wear this for me?" He opened the box and pulled out a chain. There was no doubt the sapphires were real. They were gorgeous gems, They dripped down from small to larger, a long beaded row of fiery blue. Between them was a chain of platinum. The links weren't delicate, but rather a winding of strands of platinum, so the chain appeared to be a vine running from one blue gem to the other. Sasha couldn't help the little gasp of pleasure looking at it. She didn't want to think about the cost. Giovanni had bought it for her, and she loved it. She cupped her right breast. Already her heart pulsed through that soft flesh, desperate for his touch. He leaned into her again and suckled, bringing her nipple to a hard peak. He fastened the clip, watching her face. She gasped again at the shock of the bite. He instantly had his mouth on her left breast, repeating the same ritual. Once he clamped her nipple, he went back to the first one and tightened it, again watching her face. She kept her hands under her breasts, offering him her body, trusting him to know when it was enough. The bite sent streaks of fire to her clit, as if there was a live wire running straight to her core. He tightened the second clamp and indicated for her to step back so he could look at her. "Put your hands down, baby. Let me see." She dropped her hands, and the loss of support set her breast swinging. The chain followed suit, as did the heavier sapphires. More fire, more liquid. This time she felt the inside of her thighs dampen. It was hot. It was sexy. "You're so gorgeous. Look in the mirror." Giovanni indicated the wall across from the bed, the one that was mirrored from the floor to the ceiling. Sasha turned and walked over to it. Every step she took set her breast swaying. She had never felt anything like it in her life. Her breasts were on fire. So was her sex. She looked enticing, sexy. Her body was flushed beneath the gossamer gown. Her hair was still piled on top of her head, leaving her shoulders bare. Nothing was left to the imagination, yet the stretch fabric seemed to enhance her natural beauty. If nothing else, it gave her courage. Her gaze was drawn immediately to her breasts. Giovanni's marks were all over the soft mounds. The blue of the gemstones caught the light and sparkled. The chain was loose and swung with every movement. If there had been music, she would have been tempted to dance. "Come here and eat something, baby." His voice, she loved the way he sounded. She tried to think about the conversation she'd planned on having with him, but the fire shooting from her nipples to her clit short-circuited her brain. It was easier to follow his instructions. She went back to the bed, slowly, loving the way his gaze was glued to her body. He patted the middle of the bed, and she crawled up. Even that was sensual, her breasts swinging as she went to all fours. The weight of the sapphires sent fire licking over her nipples and breasts. She was deliberately slow, wanting him to be as aroused as she was. The tray held strawberries and whipped cream, along with cheeses and honey. "Scoot all the way to the headboard, Sasha. It will be more comfortable." He put the tray beside her and then stood up to unbutton his shirt and remove the rest of his clothes. She took cheese and smeared the slice with honey before eating it, all the while watching him. He was definitely every bit as aroused as she was. He moved back up the bed and nudged her legs apart. She accommodated him, but it wasn't enough. He pushed her thighs much wider, caught the little panties and yanked. They hadn't been doing that much good anyway. She took another bite of cheese. It was delicious, really delicious. A glass of ice was on the tray and a bottle of water with the cap on it. He'd thought of everything. His hand moved up her inner thigh to settle over her entrance. "I love that you're so ready for me." She was. Just his touch brought more heat. He dipped a strawberry in the whipped cream, put it in his mouth, and leaned over to kiss her. His chest brushed her breasts, and she gasped as fire burst through her like a roaring conflagration. Instantly, the strawberry was in her mouth, and he was rubbing ice all over her breasts and around her nipples. The contrast of fire and ice bordered somewhere between pain and pleasure. Maybe both. It didn't matter. She wanted more. Her clit pulsed and throbbed. Her sex wept and clenched. He caught her hand and brought it down to her dripping, slick sex. "Put your fingers in. You feel that scorching heat? That's all mine." He brought her hand to his mouth and licked her fingers. She had no idea why she found everything he did so sexy, but his every action just made her want him more. He let go of her hand and took a fingerful of whipped cream and painted her with it, then pushed more inside her. He chased it with his tongue, and she couldn't help the cry of need that escaped. He took his time, devouring her, making it impossible to do anything but push into him, desperate for more. Giovanni kept all control, refusing to do one single thing other than torment her with his fingers, his tongue, and his teeth. He used the ice on her clit, and then flicked her, nearly bringing her off the bed. The fire was in reverse now, rushing from her sex to her breasts. That didn't seem good enough for him. He suddenly reached up, caught the chain, and pulled it to him. Her nipples had been settling, but that movement caused explosions to go off, both through her breasts and deep inside her core. Her sheath spasmed. "Giovanni!" She cried out his name, uncertain whether she wanted him to stop or go on forever. He smiled and tugged a second time. His smile was pure sin, pure wickedness. Her breath rushed from her lungs, and her body nearly went over the edge. She was close. Tension coiled tight. She needed more. He moved the tray, setting it on the floor, and then his fingers pushed an ice cube deep into her. She cried out, her bottom lifting off the bed, when his teeth raked her clit. He caught her waist, dragged her down the bed, and flipped her over. The moment her clamped nipples hit the mattress, the weight of her body on them, a burst of fire radiated outward. He caught her hips and dragged her to her knees. Now her breasts swung free, the sapphire gems pulling, stretching. Fire poured over her skin until every nerve ending in her body was alive. His mouth was everywhere, his teeth, his fingers. He took full advantage of her position, claiming every inch of her as his own. She tried to impale herself on his hard cock. It was so close, at times pressed against her buttocks as he kissed his way down her spine. His hand smacked hard on her firm cheeks. Her sex spasmed. Her breasts rocked. The sapphires swung. The smacks grew harder as she bucked her hips, seeking more. "So close. I'm so close." She sobbed it, chanted it. "More." She just needed. Her brain was gone, and some part of her knew it, but it didn't matter. Her body was going up in flames. Then he was inside her, a brutal, shocking invasion, one she welcomed. The cry turned to another sobbing demand, "More!" He had to move. He had to be as out of control as she was. His fingers tightened on her hips, and then he was driving into her, over and over. His ferocious thrusts jolted her breasts, sending them swaying and bouncing. The sapphires danced with the heavier chain, tugging and pulling, pinching the way his fingers tugged and pulled. The nerve endings on her reddened bottom sent heat flaring through her. There wasn't a place on her body that wasn't his. "More." He was taking her to a place she hadn't known existed, and she wanted to go there with him. She needed to. One hand slid up her back, caught her around the throat, and tilted her head back. That arched her back even more, increasing the fire streaking through her nipples to her core. Her body tightened around his cock. "No, breathe through it. It will be worth it, I promise," he said. "Don't let go yet." She tried to breathe. His palm, curled around her throat, restricted her air somewhat. She didn't care. She loved that her head was pulled back and her breasts were on fire. It was a good fire. It was pleasure beyond her imaginings. She fought off her orgasm, concentrating on making it every bit as pleasurable for him, thinking only of him, what he wanted, what he needed. "So fucking hot," he whispered. "That's my girl. So beautiful." She felt like molten lava. She hoped it felt that way to him. She tightened her inner muscles, tried to strangle him with her sheath. She could count his wild heartbeats right through his cock. He was stretching her, growing wider and longer as he pistoned into her, so deep, so much a part of her, swelling, pushing at her inner walls. His cock was hot steel, scorching her, branding her. "Giovanni!" She wasn't going to be able to hold back. "Now, baby." He smacked her buttocks again as he slammed his cock deep, hard,
jolting her body. Her breasts jolted, too, gems tugging while the clamps pinched tighter. Heat radiated outward, seemed to encompass her entire